Need radio experience, just a passion for this style of music, and the willingness to work with us to increase and engage the many listeners and supporters in this show's early morning audience.
You can share your appreciation for this ageless art form by joining our 8 to 11 Sunday morning classical lineup. Volunteer applications are available at the station or online at WORTFM.org.
WORT is an equal opportunity, affirmative action organization, and members of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply.
to give people a good breadth of knowledge of the crises facing women. I think that's so amazing. And I love the focus on Dane County. I know you've already talked about what do you hope that Dane County will get out of it. And I'm so excited that this is the first annual version of this event. It's so exciting. What do you see coming out of this event?
So a call to action.
Call to action.
So again, you and Dane County, and Mary can speak more to this, has had a history of taking the lead around some women's issues and being impactful. And so I think this is another area that we will get a call to action that for us as a chapter, having the focus on the four areas is great. And then we can kind of break down and say, here's one area we're going to take next year. Here's another area where we're going to go. But I'll let Mary talk about how we've led. And
wow. Yeah. And how did this initiative start? How did you start? How did this come to be?
Well, we have a retreat once a year for the leadership of UNA Dane County. And the National had put forward an evaluation of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, looking at them in the context of our world today. And they identified these four areas. And we were looking to build on work we had done before. For example, we were leaders in the effort to get Madison as a city to adopt the principles of the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women in 2019. And in between then and now, we've been represented on international panels at the United Nations Convention on the Status of Women in New York. And this just was to bring it local because we're not doing a deep dive on anything, but so we're alerting people these are areas to look at.
We still need to lift up these areas that are impacting women.
And yeah, so, because people all know that, you know, women's reproductive health is something they want to focus on. But they not everybody wants to get in that particular fight.
Yeah.
And they miss the fact that these other areas are places where they can find allies for that fight and for their other work. And as Mary said, at the end of this, we're going to have a question and answers and hopefully develop a call to action for the future. And we want that call to action to come from
community.
Women mm-hmm. in Dane County, not from the leadership of UNA Dane, mm-hmm. but from women who are there and bring their insights to it.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of UNA Dane, can you tell us a little bit more about UNA Dane County? When I reached out to you, it was the first time I had heard about it. Can you tell us a little bit more about overall what you do?
So UNA Dane County has been in existence since the 1940s.
The late 1940s. Well, the UN was created in 1947. So this is one of the first chapters, and we have been in existence continually since like 1950. Supposedly, we know Eleanor Roosevelt was a big advocate of these creating these organizations, and she came here.
Wow.
So we don't have the documents to prove that's why we exist, but boy, we suspect it's the case. But it's one of currently 200 chapters around the country of the national organization, and all of them in their own way, each is allowed a lot of autonomy in how they go about inspiring their local residents to support and understand what the UN does and how important it is to them.
So, and one of the ways we get at it is that we have a series of distinguished lectures, and we invite in people from our community, people from the university, to speak on issues. Our last one, we had the public health medical officer, Ryan Westergaard, talk about COVID, which is going to be part of our panel discussion, because as we live today, we think, oh, God, we're through with COVID. We're not through with COVID. COVID is still here.
Right.
We're just addressing it in a different way. We also have an annual celebration, UN Day celebration, that occurs generally in October, but sometimes in November. And we give a Global Citizen Award each year, and that's to recognize a group or member in our community that is being impactful.
Wow.
Yeah. The annual luncheon we have in the fall is tied to the founding of the UN. And that's the ostensible reason for it. But there, you know, it allows us, we've had speakers who are ambassadors to various countries. We have politicians. we have local leaders who are global citizens, who have a global perspective. That is important in everything we do, is that it approaches issues from a global point of view.
I think 2 years ago, we had one of the former ambassadors, Rick Barton, who had written a book on Peace Works. Mm-hmm. And I think about how timely that is for right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we were talking before about how important it is to hear international perspectives and how much we learn from each other.
So that's true. I mean, sometimes when people think about the UN, they think that this big organization that's sitting somewhere and that it doesn't impact us here in the community. But it does, because we're impacted by so much. And so when we can sit at the table and we can hear from other countries, understand what their challenges and opportunities are, as well as share what we're doing and why, we will work better together. And we can be more impactful collectively than if we were in isolation.
And we do advocate with our legislators. We want the United States to contribute to the success of the UN. Where would we be during the pandemic without the World Health Organization?
Right.
That's the UN. Where would we be right now without UNRWA, which is the organization that provides relief to people in the Gaza war zone?
Right.
And I think when you think about how does it affect me, those things are very important. But I think Mary gave an example or shared earlier. When you think about planes and how they fly and are being comfortable of the success of them, that's, the UN was impactful.
Yeah, we the UN is who said everybody, every pilot has to speak English, and every control tower in the world speaks English. So you can get on a plane that is sponsored by the government of Italy, and you can fly to Beijing and know that everyone can communicate with everyone else about safety. And that's the doing of the UN.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I didn't know before. That's such an amazing fact. So if people are interested in getting more involved with your summit or the luncheon in the fall, or just in general, what can they do to get involved?
They can go to our website and they will find information on our summit that's coming up, undane.org. And they can actually be led to where they could sign up for the conference. And so we certainly encourage everyone. I wanted to make this point too. It is a conference about women's issues, but it is important that women and men understand women's issues.
Yes.
And understand that if they are an advocate for the environment, they are an advocate for women.
Wow. Yeah.
I would like to emphasize, this is Saturday, May 18th from noon to 3. It is free. It's at Christ Presbyterian Church on the corner of Gorham and Brewerly. It's there by the lake. There's plenty of parking out front. And we hope that it will be well attended, and that many of your listeners will be among the people who attend. We want people to go to the website and register, because we've got to give the caterer a number of how many lunches to prepare.
So we're providing lunch, they don't have to pay for that either. So so having those numbers is important. But I think that as we talked about, we want to make sure we're representing our community. We need to hear from our community in order to best represent them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. And I know I've said it already, but I love the variety of topics that you're covering. I know we have discussed climate change and conflict on this show before. I hadn't really thought about specifically how COVID impacted women in the post-COVID, not just in the illness, but how it impacts people, especially immigrants. I thought that was really interesting. I'm excited to hear more about
that. Well, I think when we talk about COVID, we have to remember that 25 million children did not get their routine vaccinations because of COVID just in the year 2021. That impacts us now.
Wow.
There's also learning loss documented in 4 out of 5 countries studied. And COVID-19 triggered the largest increase in inequality between countries in the last 30 years.
Yeah, that's certainly not something that I had thought about. I'm excited that the people of Dane County can come and learn more about that with you all.
And I think the impact of violence is another area. And so it's not just, sometimes we react when we see horrific things around violence, but there are other ways that women experience violence. And so I think it's good to bring attention to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you tell us one more time where this event will be held and how they can register?
It's on Saturday, May 18th from noon to 3 at Christ Presbyterian Church, which is that big church right along the lake on Gorham Street by the intersection of Brerly. And it is free, but we would like you to register at UNADANE, all one word, .org/events. So we have a lunch ready for you.
Great. Thank you. And we'll try to get that posted too.
And the event is the Women's Summit, sponsored by the United Nations Association. This first one is entitled Highlighting the Impact of the Climate Crisis, Conflict, Economics, and COVID on Women.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming. I look forward to the event, and I look forward to talking to you next year about next year's topics. This is so exciting. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Delier, and today we're joined by our third Mary of the Day, an East High School RASA leader on the topic of May Day protests that happened May 2nd. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Mary Angelise, many know me by Mary, and I'm very grateful for being here today.
We're grateful for you, Mary. So anyway, just to get started, what is RASA? Could you define that word for me?
So RASA, actually, if you were to translate it by Google Translate, it would translate to race. But RASA is actually used by Latinos to refer to the people. So RASA United was first known as Latino Student Union, but it soon became RASA United because we wanted to be more inclusive. So we went RASA United to refer as the people united.
That's really nice. How did you, well, why did you change from United to RASA?
So I wasn't actually part of the club when the change happened. I think I wasn't even in high school by then. But Ms. Sylvia Gomez was the one to make the change. Not sure when, but I know it was years before I even entered high school. And I think it was just to stand out. A lot of the schools have their clubs as Latino Student Union, but they're slowly switching it up. So each club is like different. Mm-hmm. And RASA United was like a very unique name with the purpose to be more inclusive, you know, the people united.
Mm-hmm. And what is May Day exactly?
So May Day is known as Día Sin Latinos e Inmigrantes, or Day Without Latinos and Immigrants. It started off as a day celebration of the working class, but many laborers noticed that we weren't getting treated right, so it soon became a day of protest. May Day is now known as a day of protest for, it's pretty much countrywide. A lot of people go out and protest for immigrant rights. And we also miss out on work, miss out on school to show the economy and the government how essential we are.
And I heard that this May Day, it wasn't just about workers and Latinos. Could you explain on that?
So with the situation going on in Palestine, we wanted to stand in solidarity because our indigenous people went through the same thing. We had our land and it got stolen by the European, the colonizers. So now that that is happening in Palestine, we know how much it sucks. And we also know that it's so wrong. And that's why we're standing in solidarity and fighting for a free Palestine.
And who decides what each May Day is about and the topics? Is that you?
Yes, but no. We have, at least each year is different, but we have Voces de la Frontera. They are currently like a place in Milwaukee, but they come to us. They have organizers at Madison that work with us, and they like help us through the planning for May Day. In recent years, it was Rosa United who made most of the decisions, but we decided to collab with the other Latino student unions in Madison, and not only Madison, but around Wisconsin as well. We had some Prairie, Middleton, Monona. We had other schools too. And this year we all had multiple meetings together. So we had about 20 organizations meet together and come up with the demands together.
Mm-hmm. And what were the demands this year?
This year the demands were work permits, state driver's licenses, and 287G, free lunch, accessible education, and for a free Palestine.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think RAZA is important? Why do you think high schoolers should join? Why do you think other people maybe outside of high school should support the club itself?
Well, I think every student should have that community. If you're Latino, you should always, always encourage yourself to join the Latino Student Union. RAZA United focuses on building students to become leaders, to become advocates. So if you're currently in East High School, you should definitely join. RAZA United is not only for Latinos, but it's for everyone. But it does have a focus on Latino students. And we try to help those students come out of their comfort zone and achieve what they think they cannot.
And I actually was there during May Day, and I saw that there was a huge amount of people this year.
Yes.
Would you say it was more or less than last year?
Definitely more. I don't think it's been the biggest. I think the biggest march has actually been back in 2017. But we were building back up slowly because after COVID, it was a yearly annual thing, the march. But after COVID, our numbers definitely went down. I think this year has been the biggest numbers in the past 3 years. And the reason why is because we had two starting points. We had one from East High School and another from West High School.
Speaking of COVID, how do you think COVID has affected not only your protest, but protesting as a whole?
I think it's actually, because even after the Black Lives Matter movement and everything, it definitely put fears into people's head. So like people are not as confident when protesting. But that's why the youth is so strong. A lot of students just forget about the past and they think about what could happen in the future, the change. And that's why the youth is very powerful nowadays. But after COVID, not really sure why, but I think this is like people are afraid.
Okay, thank you so much for your time today, Mary, and I will definitely be looking further into RAZA United.
Thank you.
This was Madison Delier with
Mary.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again to Mary Rathbun, Mary Muse, and Mary Acosta. Today's show was produced by the Her Turn Collective. Our engineer was Joanne Powers. And the contributors for today's show include Arlene Zoucha, Eliza Howard, and Madison Delier.
And now stay tuned for 2.5 hours of Women in Music, Arts, and Culture on Her Infinite Variety with the host, Steph. From Her Turn, I'm Madison Delier.
And I'm Eliza Howard. Have an empowering day.
Thank you. Are you anticipating the fun and frolic of Wartstock as much as we are? To whet your appetite for that amazing day of music, we've got a pre-fest patio jamboree planned for you on Saturday, May 11th at the Malt House. From 2:30 to 6 p.m., we'll have two folk groups to kick off our outdoor concert season. First up is Annie and the Okies, acclaimed stalwarts of the local bluegrass and Americana scene. Followed by The Firesides, a superb duo from the Driftless area, playing old-timey Appalachian and traditional folk tunes. Admission is free, but donations to the musicians and to Wart Community Radio are welcome. And we'll have advance tickets for the incredible Wartstock raffle on hand. It's the Wartstock warm-up party at the Malt House, 2609 East Washington, on Saturday, May 11th from 2:30 to 6 p.m.
Hi friend, how are you? What you need? Got you? What's your day been like? Has it been alright? You good, I'm okay, we both trill. Wait, is it just me this way? Cause if you good, then it means I'm tight. Only need his hype, since then no one else has a day height. It's just me, whoop de whoop de whoop de whoop. It's just me, whoop de whoop de whoop whoop whoop. Wait, who is that? Staring back at me. Is someone here for me? No, it's a stupid mirror playing tricks.